Will the Murdoch cases bring justice for Stephen Smith? Another arrest in the Microsoft executive slain. Josh Duggar, rhymes with hugger, extends his stay in federal prison. A story of a good cop, well, and a bad drunk police captain. Don't point lasers at helicopters. Better yet, let's not steal them either, especially if you can't fly one. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. And of course, he's a grown man who's living with his mother. Let's talk about it. Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Leave me a comment. Hit that little bell. And remember, you can download any of our podcasts on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Also, you know the drill. Let's support the people that support Crime Talk. Go to crimetalksearch.com. Sign up for that background subscription service today. If somebody new is coming into your life, maybe somebody just seems too good to be true, check them out. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You're going to get a report literally while you wait, and you are going to be able to get information about whether they are married, single, divorced. Do they have a criminal history? Do they have to put themselves on one of those public registries, if you know what I mean? Do they have judgments against them? The things that you need to check out. See if they are telling you the truth. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be happy you did. All right, let's go ahead and do the docket for St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2023. And let's go ahead and open the record. Will the Murdoch case help bring justice for Stephen Smith? That's right. For those of you who aren't familiar, Stephen Smith, his body, a South Carolina man who died just a few miles from the infamous Alec Murdoch family home, is set to be exhumed. This is according to his family. Stephen Smith's family announced that they will exhume his body for an independent autopsy after his July 8, 2015 death. Now, the death received renewed attention during the Alec Murdoch trial, and it also received some new attention when they searched Moselle. Apparently, the police have not ever said exactly what it was, but they found evidence that they were going to open up the Stephen Smith case that was basically closed. Well, Stephen Smith's family announced that they are going to have an independent autopsy done. This independent autopsy comes more than 7 years after Stephen Smith was found dead on Sandy Run Road just outside of Hampton County, not far from the Moselle Estate, where Alex Murdoch obviously killed his wife and son. At the same time, his death was ruled a hit and run by authorities, but they've reopened the investigation into Smith's death in June of 2021 based upon information uncovered during the investigation into the shooting deaths of Murdoch's wife, Maggie, and son, Paul. Now, police have never publicly disclosed whether there was a link between Smith's death and the Murdoch family, but several witnesses have speculated about possible foul play involving Smith's classmate, that's right, Buster Murdoch, the son of Alec Murdoch. Smith's mother, Sandy, shared the plans to move forward with the exhuming of the body and the independent autopsy on a GoFundMe page, which had aimed to raise roughly $15,000. As of today, they've raked in more than $40,000. So we'll see how that turns out, if anything new comes from that autopsy. Well, some other Murdoch news. Moselle, the property where obviously Maggie and Paul met their demise. Well, guess what? It is currently under contract with a buyer, and it's taken about 8 attorneys to work out where the money will go once the closing takes place. An attorney working closely with the sale of the property says the deal is expected to be finalized next week for $3.7 million. The Murdoch family is obviously named in several civil lawsuits, many stemming from the 2019 fatal boat crash that killed Mallory Beach. And obviously, Paul Murdoch was facing charges in relation to the crash of the boat at the time. Obviously, he never went to trial, as this case was dismissed once he met his demise. So here's how the money will be broken down according to some court documents. John Marvin Murdoch, Alec's brother, will use $290,000 to pay the estate's outstanding legal fees. $6,511 will go to Laura Jones, a creditor with a claim against the estate. Buster Murdoch, that's right, Buster Murdoch is going to walk away with $530,000. $100,000 will go to attorney Joseph McCulloch, who is representing boat crash victim Connor Cook in a civil suit against Buster. And then the co-receivers will receive $275,000 for the common fund, which will eventually go to more victims. $25,000 will go to the Palmetto State Bank, which has a claim against the estate. And then the remaining funds will go to attorney Mark Tinsley, who is representing three of the parties in the boat accident case. So, as oftentimes what takes place, it looks like the attorneys are going to come out with more cash than the victims in the case, because remember, those attorneys are probably taking anywhere from 33% to 35%. Next on the docket, yes, some new arrests in the Microsoft executive case. A new arrest in the shocking murder of the Florida father of four, Jared Brigden, who was gunned down in front of his toddler more than a year ago. Now, the husband of Brigden's ex-wife has been charged with his slaying. Mario Fernandez, the second husband of Brigden's ex-wife, Shanna Gardner Fernandez, was arrested Thursday morning in Orlando by agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, along with local police agencies. Now, Ms. Gardner Fernandez remains a key suspect in the killing. A judge actually signed an arrest warrant for Fernandez moments after Henry Tenen, Fernandez's former tenant, pled guilty to fatally shooting Brigden as part of a plea agreement. Now, Tenen has agreed to testify truthfully against those he worked with to murder Jared Brigden. According to prosecutors, Tenen's cooperation has both corroborated evidence collected during the investigation and provided additional evidence against Mario Fernandez Saldana for his role in the planning and execution of Jared's murder. Now, Mr. Tenen was charged 2 months ago with the second-degree murder charge, conspiracy to commit murder, accessory after the fact, and child abuse for his role in the slayings. Yes, looks like they are getting closer one by one. We'll see if the ex-wife is actually going to be charged. Of course, we'll give her and everyone that's charged the presumption of innocence. Josh Duggar rhymes with hugger. We haven't talked about him in a while. But the Federal Bureau of Investigations says that his 12-and-a-half-year prison sentence has been extended for almost two additional months. Now, the reality star was convicted of possession of images involving small children back in 2021 and has a release date from the Federal Bureau of Prisons of August of 2032. Now, earlier in the week, the prison records for Duggar indicated that his release was pushed back until August 22nd, 2032. However, the records now cite his release as October 2nd of 2032. The sentence extension comes as Duggar repeatedly remains in solitary confinement, where he was placed after allegedly being caught last month with contraband. What say you is the contraband? Oh, a cell phone. That's right. Guess what? It's called losing your earned or good time credit, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't follow the rules, you don't get to get out early. It's kind of like the kid leaving time out early, isn't it? Anyway, the 19 Kids and Counting alum has been serving his sentence at the low-security federal prison of FCI Siegelville near Dallas, Texas. And for those who aren't familiar with it, a federal jury in Arkansas found Duggar, rhymes with hugger, guilty in December of 2021 related to the receipt of those inappropriate images involving small children. Now, last May, he was sentenced to 151 months in prison, and then he was transferred to the Washington County Jail in his home state of Arkansas to the FCI facility, the Federal Correctional Facility that it is. Anyway, Duggar was seeking to reverse his conviction on appeal. During a federal appeals court hearing this past February, Duggar's attorneys argued that the investigators violated his rights by seizing the phone he was using to try to call his lawyer during the search of that ultimately resulted in the search of the, and discovery of those images. Duggar was arrested in April of 2021 after a Little Rock, Arkansas police detective found inappropriate images and files that were being shared on a computer traced back to Mr. Duggar. Investigators testified that those images depicting the sexual abuse of children were downloaded in 2019 onto a computer at the dealership that Mr. Duggar owned. Prosecutors said that the computer Duggar used had a monitored program on it to report his activities to his wife. Like maybe she knew there was a problem? But the images and video were downloaded after separate software was installed that would allow him to download images without being detected by his wife. Duggar's attorneys argued that what federal agents did is they physically took the phone out of his hand and from that point forward deprived him of the ability to communicate with his legal counsel, as was his constitutional right. Now, the prosecutors counters and said that Mr. Duggar was free to leave the scene and instructed not to speak with agents without an attorney, and he was also with two other people whose cell phones weren't seized, indicating that he had an option to speak to a lawyer, even though obviously the officers had appropriately and legally seized his phone at the outset of the search. We'll see how that goes. I don't expect a whole lot of relief on that case, but you never know what the appellate courts will do. Next on the docket, good cop, bad drunk police captain. Please meet Captain James Matt French. He was pulled over early Sunday morning after officers saw the police officer swerving and speeding in his unmarked city-owned SUV. I always say if you're going to get arrested, do it in the city's car. At least you don't have to pay the impound fees. Anyway, an Oklahoma City police captain was arrested for driving under the influence, repeatedly asked the arresting officer to turn off his body camera during the investigation. French is seen sitting in his car in the driveway of the home he claims to live with his mother. Of course he does. As the officer approached the SUV, he asks Captain French if he's been drinking, to which he replies, "Hey, I'm a captain on the police department," before specifying that he serves as a captain in Oklahoma City. French then points to his chest, whispered to the officer, "Turn off the camera." Well, French, not wanting to be recorded, obviously made the same motion towards his chest, signaling to stop the body cam footage. The officer says, quote, "I'm not turning off my camera." The officer kind of says in disbelief at the request. As the officer began his investigation, Captain French said he'd been playing poker and had, you know, three or four beers, with the last round about midnight, nearly 2 hours before being pulled over. You know, it's always just a few, a couple. Anyway, the officer, a sergeant, said, "I know you're aware of the body cam policy, and you know I can't turn the body cam off." "I do, but I'd like to talk to you," Captain French said. The officer tells French, who relentlessly keeps asking for the body camera to be turned off, he will turn it off following the conclusion of his investigation, with French reiterating, "Hey, did I tell you that I just happen to be a captain with the police department?" And the officer said, "I'm a sergeant, and I've taken an oath to uphold the law, and I don't show favoritism to anyone, regardless. I don't care if you're a gangbanger or the president of the United States," the officer said. Boom! That's right. Anyway, Captain French was booked into the Oklahoma County Detention Center and, of course, made bond. Captain French is a 32-year veteran with the Oklahoma City Police Department, and the police chief had something to say about it, a guy by the name of Wade Gorley, and he praised the arresting officer's professionalism under the barrage of requests to turn the camera off. The officer did exactly as he should have and handled it very professionally, in his opinion. As far as how the officer responded, he did exactly what he should have done, Chief Gorley said. And needless to say, French has been placed, Captain French has been placed on administrative leave, as he deserves so. And let's face it, hey, people make mistakes. Somebody can get a DUI. Those things happen. But he was trying to use his position of power to get out of it, which was wrong and inappropriate. Next on the docket, here's a bad idea. Pointing a laser at an aircraft. That's right, it's illegal and really bad when the aircraft is a police helicopter. Well, the Fairfax County, Virginia Police Department put on their Twitter page of an incident which took place on March 10th. Fairfax 1, That's right. Everybody's got a one. Fairfax one, Crime Talk one. Everybody's got a one. They were helping Virginia State Police search for someone who ran away from their troopers. While overhead, the crew from Fairfax One saw someone pointing a laser at the aircraft. The crew used the chopper's FLIR system that detects like heat. And it discovered that the laser was coming from a balcony apartment at the 9200 block of Ashland Woods Lane. And with that FLIR, they were able to get really exact. And investigators were able to identify and arrest the 25-year-old man who had been charged with interference with an operation of an aircraft. He was released on a secured bond. So I went to a charity event, and guess what? I won the ride in our Denver one. So I think Frank and I are going to go do that here in a couple of weeks if we can coordinate that and hopefully try to videotape that. And I hope nobody points any lasers at us. Next on the docket, what's worse than pointing a laser at a helicopter? Well, trying to steal one, particularly if you don't know how to fly a helicopter. I'm telling you, planes are easy. You pull the stick back, the houses get smaller. You push the stick forward, the houses get bigger. Helicopters are a completely different thing, and they're complicated. Well, a person tried to steal a helicopter the other morning from the Sacramento Executive Airport, and it crashed into the tarmac shortly after starting the aircraft, according to police. It's unclear how far the helicopter actually got off the ground, but just high enough to crash, apparently. Take a look at these pictures that shows these black helicopter lying on its side with pieces of the aircraft, including the rotor blades, scattered about the ground. Now, crews used a crane to stand the aircraft back up and put it on its landing gear. But needless to say, it's broken. The Sacramento Police Department has stated that the suspect damaged four helicopters before starting the aircraft that actually crashed. And when officers arrived at the scene, they found the helicopter obviously with major damage. The suspect remains at large, according to police. And the FBI has taken over the lead in the investigation, and agents are collecting evidence from the scene. The FBI said that they have identified a person of interest but declined to reveal any information about the arrest or motive. If someone wanted to take an aircraft for a joyride, someone also may have wanted to take it to do other criminal activities, to damage property or even terrorism, and that would be really bad. So they take that kind of seriously. Very serious. They take that very serious.
Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked.
Finally, our dumb criminal of the day. No happy ending for you. That's right. A Florida man is not getting a happy ending after he was arrested for allegedly demanding axe from a massage parlor worker while holding a gun to her head. That's right. Timothy Paul Taylor, a convicted felon, entered the A1 massage parlor through a back door about 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, and he approached the woman who was alone in the business. He asked her to perform oral sex. And when she told him the business doesn't engage in that sort of activity, he pointed a gun at her head and said, "Well, now you do." But the woman stood firm and said no. The suspect then threatened to kill her if she called the cops, and then he then fled in a small black Chevy car. The woman, who was uninjured, called the police from a neighboring business. The sheriff's office used a helicopter to help search for the suspect. who reportedly dropped off his car at his family's home. That's right. His mom helped cops catch the creep about 2:30 p.m. He apparently refused to come out and resisted even after he was bit in the calf by a police dog. And the officers were able to locate the gun at the scene. And it was near the scene. It turned out to be a BB gun. He apparently put it in the hood of the car trying to hide it. But when he drove off, it fell out. So the police were able to actually get it at the scene, and they were able to recover it. That's where the suspect then went into the woods. He apparently admitted and confessed to his mother before he had left that he did something that he shouldn't have done. According to police, Mr. Taylor was treated at the hospital for his injuries. He now faces charges of attempted sexual battery, aggravated battery with a weapon, aggravated assault with a weapon, and resisting arrest. Taylor was called a violent felon by the police. He's been arrested more than 25 times with 9 felony convictions. Mr. Taylor, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, you got a couple strikes against you. You're a convicted felon. I get that. But, you know, just about anybody can get a girlfriend these days. And for you to have to go into a massage parlor with a BB gun, although the young lady didn't know it was a BB gun at the time, to try and get those type of favors, well, that's just dumb. It's totally illegal. And maybe you should work maybe a little bit more on getting out of your mom's basement and getting a job. And maybe you have a little more success with the ladies, just saying, so you don't have to do the whole gun thing. Because let me tell you, I tried a case once saying that basically what you did, that wasn't a crime. That was just foreplay. Jury didn't believe it. They're not going to believe it this time either, Mr. Taylor. For that, you are dumb. Thanks for watching. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.